Media shouldn't be one note. Support Rabble.ca and a diversity of voices in Canadian independent media. To contribute today, visit rabble.ca/donate.
This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Hey guys, just a heads up. Today's episode is all about audiobooks, and we're going to be having Tudor Robbins on the show. But before we cut Tudor, Kevin and I have a little chat about his experience making an audiobook. And this was recorded before his new novel, Economy of Fear, actually launched. So we talk about an opt-in for pre-orders, but it's all still a really good conversation. And I think his audiobook is still going to be available. So I think it's all still relevant, and I'm not going to cut it. So enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to Write Along Radio. I'm your host, writing coach Kevin T. Johns.
And I'm also your host, writer and blogger Catherine Brunel.
So Catherine, what are we talking about on the show today?
Okay, so today we have a great interview with Tudor Robbins. Tudor has actually been on the show before, and one of my favorite episodes, Three Myths of Mainstream Writing, if anybody wants to find it, we can link it in the show notes. So we have Tudor today, and she is going to be talking about her experience in creating an audiobook for her novel, Appalachia Summer. And Kevin, you're kind of right in the middle of the same sort of story, aren't you?
I certainly am. I am releasing a new novel shortly, and as a kind of opt-in bonus to get people out of my mailing list, I want to give them the audiobook for the new book for free.
Wow. And that's pretty freaking generous. That's something. I mean,
well, they already like, bought the book.
That's not like a pamphlet opt-in. That's like a book.
True.
Hours of work. True. Often. So I'm impressed.
Well, then I also want to give away the audiobook for the first novel, because it's the second book in a series that's coming out. And I want to give away the audiobook for the first book to anyone who pre-orders the second book. So to encourage people to pre-order the second book. And, you know, we're podcasters. We're getting okay with audio, and I'm pretty comfortable with my voice and stuff. So my plan was just to do the audiobook myself, you know? The page turner says, read by the author.
Oh, my God. Were you going to do that voice the whole time?
Well, I was thinking of going British. The page turners. Okay. By Kevin T. Johns.
Uh-oh.
What is that?
No, just wait.
What is that noise?
There's a school behind my home.
Oh, my God.
She won't stop talking. Birthday wishes now.
Oh, nice. Happy birthday from Right Along Radio.
Happy birthday, everyone, at Holy Redeemer Elementary School. This will be over soon. Oh, my God. All right, that's done.
All right.
So where the heck were we? I don't even know.
Okay,
anymore.
So anyway, I you know, we're podcasters. We know a bit about doing audio. I figured I would just record the book myself in a British voice. And actually, I should go like Australian, I think. Like, oi, welcome to the page turners. No, that was terrible. Oh my God. I should do accents.
Welcome to the page Okay, wait. I lived in England for 5 years.
Yeah, you should be able to do it. Top of the morning, squaw. Read the page turners.
Good morning. This is me doing a British accent.
Oh, there you go.
I can't really. Oh, I can only do it by accident, never on purpose.
That cannot
be good.
I like that.
I can't do an accent.
You sound like a Spice Girl.
I sound like an idiot.
Okay, so I recorded the first chapter of the book 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And it took like 2 hours, maybe. Because I did the whole thing. And then I was like, that was terrible. And I had to go back and redo the whole thing again. In a chapter was like 25 minutes just to read one chapter. And at the end of it, I was like pouring sweat. Like I had those like big sweat stains under my armpits. And I was like utterly exhausted. And I was like, this is terrible.
I can see it. I can picture it. Why? Because it's exhausting. It's physically exhausting to read aloud, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and I was trying to like act it a bit too, right? Like you kind of got to put some emotion into it.
Okay. And speaking of which, I'm trying to read that thing that we promised we would put in our next newsletter.
Yes.
If anybody wants to sign up over at Ride Along mm-hmm. Radio, we're going to be putting in readings of what we wrote, our ridiculous writing of the last challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow, that's a lot more challenging than I thought it would be. This is like
right.
the ultimate challenge.
Yeah. So what has been your experience with it?
I'm boring sounding when I'm reading it. I got to like put on my Kevin hat and produce enthusiasm. Mm. So I'm going to try recording it again. And I also thought maybe I'd get my husband to read the man parts because
yes.
I thought that would be hilarious.
Totally.
It's so cheesy. So anyway, I don't know. I cut you off with my little story. Sorry.
Oh, no. Was I going to say something?
I don't know. Tudor.
Oh, no.
Tudor
I was,
recorded.
Yeah, no, I was going to say that I had to take my Kevin hat off. Because that's why I had to go back the first time. I was like, my first reading was like, the mountains to the east of Paradise Fields crumbled like sand, and through the rubble came the goblin hordes. And then I listened back to it. And I was
oh
boy, I'm going to have to take it down a few notches. That doesn't sound so good.
Maybe you can read my vampire western erotic piece. Anyways. Tudor
like,
read the
I'd
whole
be like,
thing himself.
Howdy, partner. Welcome to my blacksmithing
That's
house.
It. That's the problem. I tried to put on an accent,
yep.
and it just sounds like I can't even handle it. I think I'm going to probably just have to go with it. But anyways, okay, look, I'm going to say this now. Tudor recorded the whole book herself, and she had a buddy. She knows somebody. It's good to know people
mm-hmm.
who helped her produce it. So it's beautiful sounding.
Really?
And yeah, and in this interview, she's basically talking about why she wanted to do it. And I guess the real takeaway from the chat was that as writers controlling their own rights to our books, we can do anything, and
mm-hmm.
we should do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's all about experimenting in different ways. And if it doesn't work, you know, you'll go on to something else. But the more opportunities you have to get your book out there, the better. So I thought that was really the basic golden takeaway of the chat. Which everyone is about to listen to. Don't just take my takeaway. Listen to the actual conversation because I miss things all the time. Yeah, there you go. Okay, guys, if you want to find Tudor, open a new window. Don't leave our page. Open a new window and put in tudorrobbins.ca and you can find everything she's doing over there. She's doing a lot.
Fantastic. Well, let's get to that interview now.
I've been thinking about it ever since I first went to a writer's union workshop. It was when they had the AGM here in Ottawa, and Terry Fallis was speaking, and he was saying that his first book was self-published.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the main successes with that book was he did this podcast,
right,
chapter by chapter, week by week, and it was free on iTunes.
I think I remember you talking about that
yeah.
before.
And so I always had this niggling in the back of my mind that was a pretty cool idea. It could be it could be very inexpensive.
Totally.
You know,
yeah.
And it has a big reach. And so I had always been thinking that I would want to do that when I had some time, and having time is the thing.
Yes.
So then I did look into it. And like I say, there's lots out there. You can do a podcast for you know, just your own time, really, and very little equipment.
Okay, so I heard a little bit of yours.
Yes.
Appalachia Summer, which I had downloaded.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm going to try this. So I was reading the first chapter of my book. And I was like, oh my God, there's an exclamation point. I now need to be animated. It was hard. How did you deal with that? Did you, like, it's like you're acting.
No. I think it's hard. It's interesting. So one of the things I looked at first was breathing.
Okay.
And I got all freaked out about breathing, even though everything that you read about breathing says just breathe when you would breathe.
Yeah.
But then I was thinking about it. So I was out of breath a lot in the first few chapters. I don't think you can't necessarily hear it but it took us way longer to get through the first few chapters because I was out of breath all the time and I had to keep stopping.
Right. So how did you find your way to Potty Books and what made you want to go with those guys?
So I guess I always had in mind that ultimately I wanted it to end up being accessible through iTunes.
Yes.
And so I hadn't thought too much more about it. I mean, I spoke to the really, really talented Lynn Jatania, who does my website, and we were looking at ways where you can post on WordPress and then it can automatically get sent to iTunes.
Definitely.
But you have to set it all up.
Yeah,
and
you do.
And so that was kind of in the back of my mind. And then I was reading and I can't remember the name of the book. I sent it to you.
Right. Publish, Repeat.
Yeah. And basically those guys who wrote Write, Publish, Repeat are kind of marketing promotion maniacs. And they mentioned that they use Podio Books.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went and looked at it And it just seemed right. It seemed like a collection of audiobooks in one place that were podcast audiobooks.
With an audience already.
Yeah, that's the point. A place where people would go to find those things. And they pushed to iTunes. So then I thought, well, that's great. There's lots of ways to listen to it. So I figure anyone going there, and they kind of take care of that technical aspect end of things.
Do they host it? Like, do they host the audio?
Yeah, so what you do is they have really specific technical specs in terms of tagging and naming and that kind of thing. And you have to be really careful to make sure that you tag and name all your episodes properly. Mm-hmm. And then you send them the first one and they make sure that it's up to their standards. Mm-hmm. And then they say, go ahead and send us the rest.
Oh, I see.
And so you actually upload them to their site, and then that's the last you have to think about it.
Right.
So you have to make sure the quality is good and you have to make sure you meet their specs. But then now in terms of making sure that you know, if there's a breakdown with iTunes or something, whatever, that's not my problem.
Right.
So that's kind of nice. And then they also have a dashboard. So it's a little bit like, it's a bit like WordPress. Like if anyone has a blog and they know there's a dashboard that's kind of behind the scenes at Podiobooks. So I can log into the dashboard and then there's different spots where I can see stats and I can see the things that are going on. I can see where the downloads are happening geographically. I can see the referral source for them, all that kind of stuff.
So how long has it been up now? I mean, okay, I guess people will listen to this interview at any point in time, but for their reference, how long has it been?
So it's been about 3 weeks. No, maybe not quite. I think I said April 6th and this is what, the 20th, 21st? Yeah. So that's what, 2 weeks?
Don't ask me to do math. It's a couple weeks.
A couple weeks.
And how's it going?
So, well, I was stunned the first time I logged in. Just, I thought actually the stats must be wrong. As of yesterday, I think I logged in and there were about 1,700 downloads.
Wow. That's
yeah. A lot. So, and then of course that's across, my book is 11 episodes. So that's downloads of all the episodes.
Okay.
So I think probably, again, as someone who's been dealing with these stats for 2 weeks, it's hard for me to say, but I'm guessing that the downloads of the first episode are the most important right now, especially this early on, because, you know, that shows how many unique people. I'm sure people aren't just going in and randomly downloading episode 4, right?
Right.
So I think the downloads of episode 1 are over 500. Well, I know they're over 500. I mean, I think part of it is just what's the future, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Right? And I think this is kind of why I think that you need to keep as many of your rights as you can, because what is going to be important to be able to do in 6 months or in a year? And I mean, I think anyone who's been looking at this industry for any length of time knows that you don't know. If you think you know, you're a little bit crazy. I mean, there are basic things that are important, like producing quality work and connecting with your readers. But apart from that, how that's going to happen, who knows? But I just think I really don't want to think that something would be good to do, or to read about something or hear about something and then find out, well, I don't have the right to do that. The big picture, the takeaway, I think, is less about this actual medium, this idea of audiobooks or podcasting books or whatever, and more about the idea of having the flexibility to run with whatever you might think that you need to run with to promote your work or to give back to your readers or whatever. And you never know who you're going to meet. So if you meet someone who is a playwright, or you meet someone who has this weird connection and they want to do something with your work, you really want to be able to have the flexibility to say, sure.
Yeah.
And the other thing I was going to say before too, about like, so doing this first podcast was a bit of a no-brainer because I learned a lot.
Yeah.
I learned so much, and it was this new experience that I'd never had before. And it was pushing my comfort zone, going into a booth, you know, wearing headphones, learning to read. I was so much better by the end. I would be so much better if I did it again. Plus making the connections with those brand new people that I'd never worked with before.
Yeah.
All that kind of thing. And so again, I mean, I think you want to make sure that you're able to do that if that opportunity arises. To me, that's it. It's just opportunities.
I love that.
Okay.
To me, that's great. That's perfect. And if anybody wants to catch Tudor's previous interview that we had on the show, Three Myths of Mainstream Writing, we were really impressed. I mean, that's still my favorite interview. So we'll link that in the show notes, as well as her novel, Appalooja Summer.
Yeah.
And it's a link on Podio Books. But also, if you prefer reading, where can people find it online?
Amazon. Yeah, Amazon. And actually all my books. So tutorrobbins.ca, if you click books, all my books are there with buy links.
Great.
And I have quite a bit for free as well. So I have a 10,000-word short story for free, and I always put up my new book is out now to Wednesday Riders, which is the second book to Appaloosa Summer.
Okay.
And so I have deleted chapters from Appaloosa Summer and a deleted chapter from Wednesday Riders.
I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The behind the scenes.
Yeah. I think readers like it. And actually, when a reader recently emailed me and asked me, she emailed me and I said, oh, well, if you want more in the meantime, go read the deleted chapters. And then she emailed me back and said, I liked them. Why were they deleted? And so then I explained to her why they were deleted. And she said, oh, okay. I never thought of that, but that makes sense. So it's really, it's fun extra content.
Yeah, definitely.
As kind of a gift to my readers, but also just to spark conversation.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Smart. Thank you very much, Tudor.
My pleasure.
Ooh. Okay.
And we are back. So thank you so much to Tudor for your insights. And I'm actually looking forward to more conversations with Tudor, if it's possible. We had some interesting off-air chats, which I'd love to get onto a podcast one day.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So again, guys, if you want to find her, she's at tudorrobbins.ca. And her book is also over on podiobooks.com and /, Appaloosa Summer. So just put that into the search bar.
Oh, yeah, Appaloosa. Everyone knows how to spell that.
Exactly. Appaloosa. So you sing it, it's easier. Okay, Kevin says nothing.
He's trying to spell it out in my head. I'm not a good speller.
Do we have anything else to say? Oh, we have this whole series on audiobooks and podcasting that's happening over at Ride Along Radio. I've been getting insights from different authors, different platforms. So head over, subscribe to the newsletter, and don't miss anything.
Fantastic.
You've been pitched.
Pitched.
What else do we do now?
We should do the pitched in the challenge voice.
Pitched. Except I'm editing this and I don't know how to do this. They could just hear you going. Bah, 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 bah. That's all.
What, you're editing
this?
I would have been better behaved if I knew you were editing.
That's right.
All right.
Until next time.
Yes.
Say something.
Hashtag Ride Along Radio.
Keep on writing.
Have fun editing that.
The music used for our Rabble fundraiser notification was found on Free Music Archive. It's called Chinese Blues, and it's from 1916 from a George Gershwin piano roll.